Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It's incredible. It's a feeling you can't really describe. And, you know, seeing the family and everyone up there and everyone that supported me and helped me get to this point, there's nothing. Words can't put this into reality, how great it feels. And such an incredible group. Everybody wrote us off from start of playoffs. They had everybody beating us in every round, and we just had that fire, and we knew we had something special. It's incredible. It's incredible to be part of this group right now.
I mean, a little too much on the, people kind of didn't believe in us thing a little bit there from Brad Marchand. How do you say it? How do you say it?
Marchand.
You say Marchand? Marchand. Either way, that's Brad Marchand. See, now I'm going to do it a little bit weird. I've said it many different ways over the years. The point is, that is the type of player that you totally hate, but man, when he's on your team, you love him, right? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Could say that about Sam Bennett, your guy over there, Owen. Come on, be honest. You love him if he's on your team. I saw your tweets about Sam Bennett last week. Two weeks ago?
You'd want
him on your team.
I definitely would like him on the team. I'll admit that. But I definitely also think that he has made some horrific plays.
Yes.
That should not be allowed or count as goals or whatever you want to say. I think he's done some questionable stuff. That's my take on Sam Bennett. He's awesome. But
I mean, the every team... Can I say almost needs guys like that to win a championship in sports, it feels like?
I think needs is correct, yeah. I mean, I bet you could go through every NHL champion in the past however many years and pick out a rat, skunk, like just a guy.
Yes.
Pat Maroon was on the Lightning. Like, there's guys all over that really play that role, and I think it's important. I mean, there's
Bill Laimbeer of the Pistons. I mean, go back and watch, right? A little before your time, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's guys on teams that, like, you just, this guy, he's the villain. Everybody hates him. But, man, part of the reason you hate him is because he's so good.
Right.
And he gets under your skin. And he's physical. And he does stuff that you just shouldn't do. And at the end of the day, he hoists the trophy over his head.
Exactly. And I know in locker rooms that I've been on, almost every team I've been on has had a guy that everybody on the team knows is psychotic and will do something that will probably at some point hurt you, but overall...
Let me say it this way, all right? In a football coaching world, there used to be a saying I'd have with my football coaching buddies. You got to have a few guys that you definitely need to go into you're okay with going to a bar fight with.
Right.
Like, you got to have some guys that I'm going to a bar fight, that's the guy I'm bringing.
Yeah.
And because he's not only with me, he's leading the way, maybe. And if you don't have a few of those guys, you ain't winning nothing.
Yeah, you can't.
Sorry.
You need people to drag you into the fight.
And you need people that are going to do whatever it takes in that fight.
Exactly.
And they don't care. They're not going to play by the rules. Sorry. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
You saw it happen. Bennett, like, scoring goals that probably shouldn't count. Help them win.
I don't disagree. And look, this is not a point that, oh my God, yeah, this is the way you're supposed to win by playing the way Sam Bennett does. The point I'm making is you got to have a few guys like Sam Bennett on your team to mix in with the other kinds of guys who play hockey a totally different kind of way.
Exactly.
And by the way, Brad Marchand is one of these kinds of guys that we're talking about.
That's the thing about Florida is they've got a ton of those guys. They got
maybe
Kachuk,
too many.
They got Bennett.
Yes.
They've got Greer's kind of like that. I mean, they're loaded to the gills with guys with gumption, maybe you could say.
Oh my God!
And it's fun to watch them play. I'm grateful that we're getting to see such a strong team.
The first dynasty, we said this yesterday, and I'm sorry, I know you were working over there.
Oh,
I really apologize. We said yesterday, we were talking about dynasties. The first dynasty, by the way, welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. That is the voice of Owen Parker, and also we have Josh Schmidt here producing today. So the first dynasty I ever remember was the Islanders, 1980s, right? Growing up.
Okay.
Sure, you've heard about them, seen them, your dad's talked about them. Their goalie was this. Billy Smith was this.
Yes.
Their
absolutely.
Goalie was the biggest. He butt ended Lindy Ruff in the eye, which is a famous clip.
I've seen
and
that.
Lindy going after him. Billy Smith was a guy that just he didn't care.
Yeah, there's a few goalies in the history of the league like that. Hextall was a little bit of that.
Ron Hextall was totally like this.
Ray Emery was a little bit of that. There's some guys that'll get after it. It's important. It's a role that needs to be filled. I think a lot of kids coming up could carve out a path for themselves. I talk about this when I coach a lot. Like, get comfortable being uncomfortable with what you're doing.
Like, I like it.
Maybe be a little on the edge if you want to. Like, if you have that in you, bring it out. Like, it's valuable. So not everybody has it. And like we're talking about here, you look at almost every championship team in every sport, they've got guys like that. And it's fun to watch those guys play, and people love those guys. They're fan favorites. It's important.
Is Binnington the newest version of this with a goalie?
Exactly.
Is he?
I mean, he's not
100%.
He had his moments of being an actual good goalie, but he's always been like a trash
screw
talker.
Loose, crazy.
Yeah.
He
tried to fight Marc-Andre Fleury this season.
That's right. Yeah.
It's Marc-Andre Fleury's last year in the league. The guy's crazy.
You know, I'm thinking about all this right now, and you're right. I think about even the people we know who've been in that role in Buffalo as fighters, Rob Ray and Andrew Peters. I think both of them would tell you kind of like that wasn't what they were planning on doing as they were growing up.
Oh, I don't think anybody really plans on that.
But they understood that that was the way for them to get into the league after knowing that they were a little bit less skilled, but better at that particular skill, right?
Yeah.
And that's important. How they could do it.
You got to recognize your own self-scout. You got to know what you got. And you got to work with what you got, exploit your strengths and hide your weaknesses. And if that means you can be that kind of guy, then you'll have a place.
The Panthers did win the cup last night. I will ask you now that I have your mic open here, what you thought about how they celebrated, because I liked it and what they did with the cup. And in case people don't know what I mean, traditionally kind of the more senior members of the team get the cup first after the captain, and the guys who are veterans have been around. They did it opposite. Those guys did it last year. I loved the fact, and I was rooting for the Oilers big time. Believe me, I was not rooting for the Panthers, but I really liked what they did last night, which is all of the first time winners got to raise the cup first.
Yeah, that was
cool.
Me and my dad were actually having a debate about that while the game was going on.
Oh, wow.
We were talking about like who's going to get that cup after Barkov,
because
there's nobody that screams like, oh, this guy definitely deserves it. There was no, you know, Ray Bourque to take it next, right? And so he was, Marchand will probably do it.
But he's only been there for a few months.
He's only been there for a little while.
Yeah.
He's won it already.
Yeah.
I didn't like that idea. My take was I thought they just, because there was nobody that screamed it, I thought they'd just hand it to, like, whoever Barkov saw, an assistant captain, Kachuk. Just, like, give it to someone.
They had a plan.
But they did. And I respect that a lot. I think Schmidt got it first. And that was, my dad said, Marchand or maybe Schmidt, because he's been there all year. And he called it. I got to give him credit.
I love that.
As much as I hate to, that big guy. But
he
nailed it. Like, I think it's a beautiful tradition, and it's always kind of an interesting story. Like, who gets the cup? Who's going to... Who does the team feel deserves this? Because it's a window into a locker room. It's a window into who do we believe, the team believe, impacts the game and the series and us as a whole. And I think it can be really interesting to see that from that perspective. Because I think outside of it, when you're a reporter or you're a fan or whoever you are, you make assumptions and you think, I think this guy is a guy that the team is really important to this team, and they probably are, but I think there's internal factors that play a big role that I don't know that everybody realizes, and I think that's kind of a window into that world that I think is really interesting to see at the end of the year.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's just play a game here. This is totally far-fetched. I get it. If the Sabres had won the Cup this year.
Okay.
Okay, Dahlin gets it first.
Dahlin gets it.
Who's the next guy from what you know about this team and how it's structured that Cup's getting handed off to?
Tuck.
I agree. I think it's Alex Tuck.
It's got to be Tuck,
right? It's got to be Tuck. I think so.
Hometown kid.
Yeah.
Tuck.
The story.
He hasn't won it. He's been to the final. Yes. He's never won it.
Would have to be.
Tuck. And then from there, it's Thompson, whoever. Like, it kind of just goes down the rabbit hole there. But I think the first thought that I have, without any sort of time to think about this before, maybe there's obvious I'm missing, but Tuck to me would be the name that would get it right after Dahlin picks it up.
I think not long after would be a guy literally like Ryan McLeod, who also was there and didn't win it, right? And then he comes in. Like, I think that's a guy that you say, hey, look, dude, you know what it's like to be watching this.
And you came in and you helped it. So, yeah, I think that's good. a good pick.
I like that. That is Owen Parker. By the way, your dad's joining me today.
Well, look at that. You got both of us.
I got the Parker brothers. Father-son, sorry. The Parker boys.
I'm
there you go.
Not that old yet.
There, I got you. The Parker boys. Bulldog's going to join me at 11 a.m. today. That's right. Our Chris Bulldog Parker. The reason is, well, a couple things. You know, I go on Show Up with the Bulldog a lot. I go on Jeremy and Joe a lot to talk about the Bills. And I've had Mike Shope on to talk fantasy football. That's kind of his niche. He loves talking about it. He's really good at it. He's smart. Does a podcast. Hey, let's talk fantasy football. And I said, you know what? I haven't had Bulldog on just to kind of talk to ask him. I want to reverse roles. I want to ask him questions about sports. And yes, he gives his opinions, but I want to ask specific questions, not just a conversation he has with Mike Shope, but hey, what do you think about this? What did you think about that? So we're going to do that at 11 a.m. today with Chris Bulldog Parker. And also because he is the Ride for Roswell team, you know, Bulldogs team on Ride for Roswell. We'll talk with him about that. That's coming up just in, 10 days or so, another weekend after this weekend. And that's the Ride for Roswell. That'll be really cool. So we'll chat with Bulldog at 11 a.m. At 10:30, coming up in about 15 minutes from now, going to get with Jonathan Acosta. Jonathan works at WGRZ TV Channel 2. Here in Buffalo, and Jonathan actually, you know, he covered Bills minicamp and, you know, OTAs. He was out there quite a bit, so I'm going to, you know, get his observations. Somebody maybe you don't hear enough from or a lot from. We hear from John Scott, who's the sports director at Channel 2, but haven't heard from John a lot. He's been on with me, I think, once before. But also, John is actually a really big Red Sox fan, and I know that I was watching him and tweeting about the Rafael Devers trade. I know he's into the College World Series that's going on now, some soccer. So we can kind of touch on a lot of topics and get to know Jonathan Acosta a little bit better too. The Olympics are coming to NBC as well very soon. So we will talk with Jonathan Acosta at 10:30 a.m., Bulldog at 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We will also get connected with you throughout the show and throughout the day. And that is always getting connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I came in early today, but I had a bunch of things going on, so I wasn't able to listen to Jeremy and Joe, or whatever we're calling them today, by the way. I wasn't able to listen to their show. Could be Joe, and it could be Jerry and Joe. It could be Jerry and Bruno. I'm not sure, but either way, they were doing their show, and I said to Josh, like, what's been kind of the resonating topic with them today? And Josh said, got a lot of calls on the Sabres today, actually, like some stuff. And then Joe said the same thing. And he goes, Sal, I think we had more calls on the Sabres today than we get throughout a normal Sabres season. And it was more of the lens of the Cup, right? And what happened, you know, over the last, you know, week and where this team is now. So I want to extend that for the next, you know, 14 minutes before we get to John.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I want to ask you, so let's keep it rolling. 803-0550 is the number to call. Does what happened with Florida and seeing Sam Reinhart score four goals, seeing even, Dmitry Kulikov win a cup? I mean, he was only in Buffalo for, 47 games, right? It wasn't a big deal. So we're not going to necessarily count him. But Sam Reinhart's there hoisting the cup. You go back to Eichel, O'Reilly, obviously that kind of stuff. But even just watching Florida, specifically watching Sam Reinhart, does it say anything about the Sabres to you? Like, do you look at it through a lens of, yeah, that's another failure of the Sabres, or, hey, that's sports. Guys move on. They go and have success. I tend to lean more that way. Yeah, I know it didn't work out with Reinhart. He was also here for, you know, several years, not quite too long, but it wasn't a short time before he was ultimately traded. By the way, Devon Levi comes back in that return and, you know, hope someday that he's, you know, the NHL quality high level goalie that he could, you know, his prospect says, but that's neither here nor there. When you watched last night, did you watch thinking about the Sabres a lot and thinking about Sam Reinhart and the Sabres and where things have gone wrong? And like, it's just another kind of nail and hammer onto everything we've been talking about. Or does that not really enter your mind? And like, hey, it's sports and, yeah, this is what happens. The Sabres aren't that good, and guys have left, and they went somewhere else, and that's really more of a product of where they are now, not where they've been, right? I guess that's more of the question. When you watch Sam Reinhart win, and you watch maybe even going back to Eichel win, O'Reilly, whatever. I mean, that's been a few years now. When you watch these guys, and they're hoisting the stand. Who was it? Brandon Montour last year, right? Another one. Am I missing anybody last year? The Panthers, they had a couple of them. Montour, Kulikov, and Reinhart.
Rodriguez.
Evan Rodriguez, yeah. You know what did stick out to me, though, interestingly enough, Josh? So when Sam Bennett gets named Conn Smythe winner, thank goodness it wasn't Reinhart, right, for that reason. Because I'm like, Sam Reinhart could win the Conn Smythe. I didn't think it would happen, but after four goals. When Sam Bennett wins it, and I want to look it up just to make sure. 2014, right? That's when the Sabres draft Bennett and Reinhart. They're the year before Eichel, which was the 2015 draft.
There were four. The top four picks were playing in that game last night.
Wow.
Ekblad, Dreisaitl, Reinhart, yeah, and Bennett.
It's funny. He comes in. Hockey's so different because he comes into the league at 18 years old. He's still only 28. He's been in the league 11 years. One of the things that struck me watching, and when Bennett wins the Conn Smythe, and I thought, boy, that's an... Like, I'm thinking about him as a grizzly vet. He's not. He's got the beard now. He's not. He's 28. But I did think, boy, you know, like, it just takes a while in hockey. It takes a while in hockey. And we talk about goalies for this, but it really is. And I think one of the things that I think that's happened with the Sabres is, yes, they've collected some good young talent. I don't think that we could say that, oh, everybody on their team sucks. That's not the case. They have some good young talent. They haven't had enough of the mix with the young talent to allow it to flourish. And I think that's what's kind of happened when I watch teams like Vegas, like the Blues when they win with O'Reilly, like the Panthers. I mean, even the Oilers who haven't won, right? Like, there's this mix of the older veterans and young talent. And that's why they go out and get a guy like Marchand who fits right in and can help them. I thought about Brad Marchand, believe it or not. I know it wasn't the ultimate result. When I watched Marchand last night, and they talked about what he meant to adding him. Actually, it wasn't Marchand. I'm sorry. It was Tkachuk. About adding Tkachuk. When they talked about adding Tkachuk and what he meant, I thought about Drury. I thought about Drury and said, yeah, that's a big thing the Sabres are missing. They haven't missing that guy to infuse that kind of thing, right? And Tkachuk was a little younger probably. I'm going to go compare when Drury came to Buffalo versus when Tkachuk came. But man... And this is, oh, and I can ask you this too. I mean, to bring you back in real quick. Like, am I wrong to think that, like, in hockey, one thing that you really have to remember is it takes a while.
It is, yeah. I think it's so, so different from football because of the age guys are drafted at, because of the game just being, I think it just takes more time to get physically and mentally to the point that the best players are at in that league. There's so much to learn in terms of system and speed and skill to develop that it just, you need to be patient. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you see this with all these former Sabres that go on to play and win elsewhere. They weren't bad players here. They may have, some of them performed poorly, but they just needed the time. And I think even maybe more significantly, the insulation and environment to grow and develop as hockey players.
All right, so this is good comparison then, because I think what I was thinking was kind of right. Drury had been in the league 6 years before he comes to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Tkachuk was in the league 7 years before he goes to Florida. Tkachuk was actually only 25. He was 7 years in the league already.
I know.
And he was only 25. But think about like the league, the arc of his career and to going there and what he meant for that kind of leadership.
Right. And
Tkachuk, that's right.
Like at that age, that would have been Tkachuk's, what, third season in the NFL if he was
NHL?
A football player?
Oh, in the NFL. Like, yeah, that's right.
Age-wise,
you're right.
If you think about that.
Because NFL players have to be 3 years out of high school before they can even be drafted.
Whereas a hockey player, I was 1 year out eligible when I was getting
looked.
Like that was my year. I just graduated, and that was the – no, not even. I was in high school. I was – like that was my year to get drafted in the NHL. I was at Nichols School.
We talk about Devin Levi and goalies a lot, but actually it's everybody. Like it's goalies take a little longer, but like, yeah, you can come in and be a really great player. You know what I think about for this right now? I think about Connor Bedard.
Yes.
Right? Like Connor Bedard had not a great second season. He's unbelievable.
Right.
He's great.
And he is a supreme talent, borderline generational level player. And he still has these kind of struggles. If there was a Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback in the NFL, right? He came in as, I think that's a good comparison in terms of hype as a prospect for Bedard.
Yes.
Very highly touted for a long time and expected to do incredible things immediately. And Bedard, I don't think is looked down upon in this to the same degree that Lawrence is at this point in his career. Like I think people on Lawrence are kind of like, I don't know if he's ever going to get there. Bedard, I think everybody thinks he's going to go. He's got to get the time. And there's just such a different level of patience required because the kids are young, because the game's, I think, more complex as a combination of physical and mental challenges.
Do you know what this gets me to, though? It gets me to the thing that I've said for the last 2 months. I don't care about getting more prospects. Trade the damn pick. I don't care. What does it matter?
100%.
Right? I mean, I just, every time I hear, oh, the Sabres are the youngest organization in the league, my response is, again?
Right.
Again? Who cares?
We don't want that.
Who cares? Like, it's great to have youth, talented youth. It's great. If you don't nurture that talented youth with the right people and mix above them, it doesn't matter.
Right. Because what's your best case scenario if you take that pick? Zach Benson level guy? Like that comes in, plays first year. It's incredible. Like that's very rare that a guy outside the top five will come in and play in their first year after getting drafted in the NHL. Zach Benson isn't pushing, he's a good player. I like him a lot. I love him. He's not pushing this team into the playoffs. That's not the difference you need. You need to make up a bigger gap than that. So you can't rely on that pick to be some sort of factor for you.
No, I agree. And all you're doing is backloading again with more of what you have. It's kind of the same thing, right?
100%.
It's the same thing of what you have throughout. Again, it's not bad to have good young talent. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter if you have all the good young talent in the world if you don't. I think the example is what we've seen in the last several years in hockey. If you don't have the people who've actually been through some wars, been some veterans, know how to bring that talent along. And the Sabres do have a few guys like that, but not necessarily to that level or enough guys. But
It's bad to have too much of anything. If you had too many guys, you got too many small-skilled young kids, you need less of that.
If
it'd be bad if they had too many Alex Tucks You just can't, right. can't have a team full of the same thing.
And I think that's what the number nine pick represents to me as we go forward. All right, that is Owen Parker, like I said. Bulldogs joining me at 11. Jonathan Acosta, WGRZ-TV Channel 2, going to join me here in a little while. Will the NBA Finals, will the title be won? Is that game, is that tonight? It's tomorrow night, isn't it? It's not tonight, is it?
That's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. Okay, I wanted to make sure on that. That is tomorrow night. And I believe Tyrese Haliburton is going to play in the game from what is being said. But that is 3-2 Oak City right now. And they are a 6.5-point favorite in that game at Indiana. Indiana trying to come back to force a game seven, just like the Oilers tried last night. It didn't happen. The Oilers now, they go two straight Stanley Cup finals, lose them both, both to the Florida Panthers. And yes, a lot of the Connor McDavid conversation has begun already, especially because of what Steve Levy said yesterday on the Jim Rome show. And you heard that, right, Steve Levy, what he said on Jim Rome show? Oh, you didn't? Oh. Can we? I want to put you to find it in the break, okay? And we'll do that. I'm going to send it to you. I can send you the clip. I'll do that. I want you to hear what Steve Levy said about Connor McDavid and just go, ooh, it might perk your eyes or ears up a little bit. Jonathan Acosta, Channel 2, joining me next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.